Take our Bibles and turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Good to be in the house of God. Glad you're here. Ephesians chapter 5. As we look in the Word of God, we're going to look down at verse number 17. As we've been looking in this chapter and looking at godly homes being the theme of this chapter, we see that obedient children make up the home, and so does obedient husbands and wives, and that's the way the chapter's broke down. And right in the middle of it here, the Lord gives us something I believe will help us out today if we'll take it in. And that is the fact that God wants you to pray. When I got saved, I didn't know a whole lot of stuff, but I knew two things for a fact. I knew I needed to read the Bible, and I knew I needed to pray. I didn't understand why. I just knew that. And some of y'all, when y'all got saved, you knew that thing. Somehow, in some way, you knew you need to pray and need to read the Bible.
Right.
And, you know, used to I tell people, I can't pray in public, this, that, and other. And that was because I was lost. I didn't know how to get a hold of God, things like that. But I find out that a lot of people that say, I can't pray in public, boy, they talk about people like a dog in public, and that don't seem to bother them too bad. They can carry on stuff like that. So what I'm saying is, Christian, if you can do all that, you can pray. Now watch this. In verse number 17, the Bible says here, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. See that? The will of the Lord. He says in verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. He says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As he shows us these things in verses 17 down to verse 20, I think he gives us a clear example and a clear picture of what we would call Bible praying. And I want to show you this today. I hope it'll be a blessing to you and a help to you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we do love you, and God, we thank you, Lord, for letting us be here today and be alive. And while we're here today, we ask, God, that you'd just move on us today. God, that you'd help us, Lord, that you'd open up our eyes, we might understand the Word of God. And Lord, pray Psalm 119, verse 18, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I pray, God, that you'd help me to preach today, according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And God, that you'd use the Word of God to convict and convert and do whatever needs to be done, to comfort whatever needs to be done in this place today. And Lord, we love you, and God, we thank you for everything. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and for his sake, amen. As we look in the Word of God today in Ephesians chapter 5, I want to point out to you there's some things we need to know about prayer as by way of introduction. Number one, according to 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, prayerlessness is sin. It's probably the prevailing sin in our churches. I know that people have all these things they preach against that sin, and I agree with probably 99% of them that sin is sin. But when Samuel over there said, if he said it'd be a sin for me not to pray for you, it shows us that prayerlessness is sin. No matter what the degree of it is or why you have to be that way, prayerlessness is sin. Jesus Christ, when he was on this earth, he made mention of this in Matthew chapter 6. He lets us know that prayer is expected. He said these very words to his disciples, and when thou prayest, and when thou prayest. Somehow, in some way, he's expecting us to pray. Prayer is you talking to God. Reading the Bible is God talking to you. We got to have both. What that builds is a private relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that will be very public in your life, the things he'll do for you and the things he'll do in your life. And the questions always asked is when we should pray. We should begin our day in prayer. Psalm 5, verse 3, in the morning, O Lord, will thou hear me? I mean, it's very plain. You go look up the word morning in the Bible, and you'll find out it's associated with prayer more than it is with breakfast. And some people say, well, I pray better in the afternoon. Well, why don't you start your day out in prayer and just make a short prayer and ask God for direction for that day before you get started? Maybe you won't have to post so much garbage on Facebook.
Wow.
You was afraid I wasn't going to get to that, wasn't you? You was afraid I said sin and wasn't going to point out sins. Prayer, listen, let me tell you something. Let me just be frank with you here. I think it's great that we have such a social media we can ask for prayer, But if you believe that all them people that run their mouth about God, church, Bible, and everybody else, when you say, pray for me, they say, oh, prayer's going up. If you really think them people's praying, you help yourself. I'm going to tell you something that you probably don't know. The only person you know whether they pray or not is you. I'm not sure about everybody else. But out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. When I see them cussing God one day and, oh, we praying for you the next, I don't buy that stuff. Amen. So you get rough. I ain't even got started yet. We ain't even got in the message yet. But I want to say this. Thank God for the people that do pray, though. Listen, I would to God, if I was locked up in county jail, they'd get on the sheriff's website and go through and call them names out to God and say, Lord, help these people. Some of them obviously lost. Help them out, Lord. Say, so who's in there, Baptist? Four of their records, I mean, I'm just saying. Four out of five guys that walk into SCDC now are Baptists. I mean, come on. So that's because we're in the South. I don't know why it's caused. I just know that it happens that way. But I want to show you something here today. In this passage of Scripture, we see the elements that make up Bible prayer, and they all have to do with worship. See, when we deal with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that relationship's not based on you and Jesus being buddies. High five, Jesus. That ain't how He is. He's the King. And being that He's our Lord and Savior, we come to Him in worship. We bow down before Him. When somebody says, oh, it don't matter if you bow down and pray, it matters some. I notice everybody in the Bible's doing it. I know sometimes they'd stand and pray, but you ever see them get alone, they always bowing down to the King and praying. You see a king in the Bible, somebody walks up to him and bows down. You ever read over in Philippians where one day that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father? There's something to that bowing down, because He's a King. And when you come to Him and you come to Him to worship Him as the Lord, and you come down before Him, I see the first thing you do, according to verse 17, He says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. I have never, ever heard a Christian, now listen to me, that loves the Lord and is a born-again child of God, that does not want the will of God for their self. And when they say they want the will of God, there's only one way to get the will of God. You know how that works? You got to find out from the Word of God what's the will of God. Don't trust this stuff about, well, God told me. I've heard some of the strangest people in this world tell them God told them stuff. It's kind of like that man that's preaching up in the mountains. He said, bless God Almighty, God told me to go run, jump out this window. And he went run over and flipped that window open, saw that the thing went straight down about 50 feet, and he closed the door and said, God said that window right over there. You can't be sure when people say God said, unless they say God said out of this book. But I see he says in that verse, he said, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. God will give you understanding what His will is if you want to know. He will let you in on it. He wants you to get along with Him and worship Him, and worship Him in Scripture by finding out what the Scripture says about what to do about the will of the Lord.
Yeah.
You run that little phrase, will of Lord, will of God, all through the Bible, and you'll find out it says some very specific things about the will of God. It's pretty plain. But when you come to Him to worship Him, you're going to run into this one pretty quick. And when you come to Him to worship Him in Scripture, is the fact that you must come to Him and confess your sins to Him and get your heart right with Him as you come to Him in prayer. God says this about it. He says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if us, confess our sins, He is faithful and just to do what?
Forgive us.
And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, God don't want to hear your filthy mouth. He wants to clean it up when you come to Him. God don't want to have your filthy thoughts going across heaven while you're trying to get in touch with Him. Get that stuff cleaned up before you walk in the prayer. And when you get there to prayer, go in there and say, Lord, I did this. Don't say, it was my friends, Lord, that made me do it. Don't say, Lord, it was such and such's fault. Lord, it was my fault. I did it. I gave in. I fell into it. I pray You'll forgive me.
Amen.
You ever heard somebody pray, Lord, I pray You help this crowd out today. They're wicked sinners, Lord, every one of them. Wouldn't you like somebody to pray for you like that? I think they need to do this thing called sweeping their own porch. Take care of you. Get yourself right, and then tell God how wicked we are and get us right. Because I got news for you. If you go to God telling us how wicked we are first and you don't get your act cleaned up, he's not listening. The Bible said in Psalm 66, if I regard iniquity in my heart, then will he not hear me? Hey, I want God to hear me, so I'm going to get things cleaned up first because y'all are a wicked bunch and y'all need prayed for. Amen and amen. I want you, when you approach the prayer closet, get in there and call your sins out to God. Get them confessed with him privately. Get them forgiven. Get them cleansed. I am wicked. I need your prayers. I need help. So you thought I was going to let me off the hook and dog y'all out. I'm serious. We got to worship God in Scripture. And if we're going to do that thing properly and have proper Bible praying, the first thing we got to do is clean up our own act.
That's right.
And that's by confessing everything to him, and he'll do all the cleaning. You see, you come to him in confession, and you come to him and you're going to praise him and worship him. And a passage of Scripture that's probably one of the best ones to come to God to just worship and praise his name is Psalm 150. You can go through that thing and read that thing to God and call out how great he is to him and just worship him according to the perfect word of God in the perfect will of God. And you'll come to him worshiping him in Scripture. And listen, if Psalm 150 is something that you get started with, start going through them Psalms. Call them out to the Lord. He'll enjoy listening from you. In fact, Malachi said he'd stop all of heaven so he can hear what you're saying if you're praising him. And he'll make note of that thing, it says.
Right.
He'll write it down.
Yeah.
I'm glad God writes things down like that. You say, does he forget if he don't write them? No, he's writing them down for everybody else so they don't forget. One day you're going to get to heaven, you're going to see that thing he's wrote down. Every time you prayed and called out and worshiped and praised his name, and you're going to see that thing and say, glory to God, I'm glad he is listening. Amen. So what is that? That's guaranteed God's listening to you. I also notice this, that when we come to the Lord and we're going to worship him in Scripture, I think it would be wise for us to understand that he says over here in verse 26 of this chapter in Ephesians 5, he says this, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of the water by the word, talking about his church, that while we're worshiping God in Scripture, we need to read the Scripture. Listen, you want blessings? Hey, Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, blessed is he that readeth the words of this prophecy. Listen, hey, you got to read this book. Every time I preach, I always pray Psalm 119, verse 18. I pray that before I read my Bible. Every time I pick it up, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Why? I want to see what God says. And when you come to him to worship him in Scripture, you take in the Word of God and you've confessed your sins to him. You've praised his holy name. Read the book, see if he's got anything to say to you. I've read through several Bible reading plans, and I like a lot of them. The first one I ever got a hold of that was different than just Genesis to Revelation was by this guy named Professor Grant Horner. He'd take 10 chapters of the Bible of this little list, and you can get these things on your phone now, or make yourself a bookmark of it, and you'd read a chapter out of Matthew, a chapter out of Romans, and one out of Psalm, one out of Proverbs, and so forth, all scattered throughout the Bible. And I believe that thing gave me the biggest Bible education I got outside of listening to my pastor preach. It's just stuff God showed me through that thing. But you got to come to it to get it. And I noticed this. When we come to the Bible and we come looking for it, God's there to hand it out to us.
Yeah.
Through his Holy Spirit that teaches us through his text, the Word of God, he's able to show us great and mighty things which we know not.
Sure.
But listen to this one. There's the first element. There's worship in Scripture. If you look down to verse number 18, he says, and be not drunk with wine. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now I want you to get a picture of this thing. If we're going to worship God in spirit, the first thing you got to do is put off being drunk. Now I'm reading this. He's talking to the church, born again people at Ephesus. Be not drunk. Now get this thing. So I don't believe a Christian had drank. Paul did. And what's the problem with drinking, preacher? Well, it's kind of like Jesus said this, woe unto him that puts the bottle to his neighbor's lips. So Jesus turned to water and wine, not Boone's Farm and all that stuff you buy at the grocery store, he didn't.
Right. Yeah.
Before you blaspheme Jesus Christ by saying that, be careful to know all the facts concerning that thing, because Christ never, ever gave wine that had alcohol in it to anybody.
Right.
Nor did he drink it himself. Tell that to your Pope and your Cardinal and your Bishop and all them other reprobates you run around with that say, man's okay if he has a beer once in a while. That's not in the Bible.
Right.
I know some of you, it makes you mad, but I'm going to tell you something. The best thing you'll ever do is get sober.
Yeah.
So what's that wine do? It's a gateway to the next thing. And then once you get that thing, it's a gateway to the next. And all them people say, well, I just drank a beer one time, I'm okay. Let me ask you something. How many of you got sitting in your refrigerator right now? More than one, ain't it? Probably went through a case last night. I'm trying to help you today. I really am. So, well, they voted to have it here on Sunday. I didn't vote for it. In fact, I voted against every politician that voted for it. Yes, sir. Why is that? Because there is no way in the will of God we vote for having liquor when God says to be sober. That's the will of the Lord. When we come to God to worship Him in spirit, the first thing we do is get rid of all that stuff and get sober. He said that thing, He said, wherein is excess? But watch this. But, be filled with the Spirit. I think it's just important that we observe the second half of that verse as we do the first half of that verse. And by saying that, let me say this. I see He says, for a fact, be filled with the Spirit. It's not optional. If we're going to worship God, we've got to worship God in spirit. Do you know in John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, Jesus Christ said, God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth? The truth's right there before you, the Word of God, the Spirit of God within you. If you're going to worship God, you've got to have both things. Our modern charismatic movement that's going on in these Baptist churches nowadays has forgotten this. They want to worship God in spirit without truth, and that don't work. Listen, that's as counterfeit as carrying a dollar bill into the bank and then having one side printed and one side blank. They're going to call you a counterfeiter and a phony, and they're going to lock you up for having the thing. So does people do that? All the time. You ever took a dollar bill and tore it in half and tried to go to the bank and get 50 cents for it? It don't work. But I have seen people show up and try to tear it in half and go up there and get four quarters for it. And the bank teller said this, you want four quarters for half a dollar. I said, well, it's a dollar bill. He said, I'll tell you what, you get the other half and I'll give you four quarters. He said, that's not fair. I said, it's not fair because the other guy's going to come here with the other half and want his four quarters too. I said, man, y'all sound like the federal government in here. We'll give you half of something and half of something. We'll make $2 off $1. How about that? No wonder we in debt in this country. But listen, I see he says there, he says, be filled with the Spirit. If you're going to be filled with the Spirit, you've got to understand what filled means. Filled means to be controlled by the Spirit. A lot of Christians never see the potential of their Christian lives and never see Christ work in their lives because they never ask God to take control of their life. It's not a one-time transaction, it's a daily transaction to where we'll ask God to fill us with His Spirit so we can not just make it through the day, but so we can make it and have life and have it more abundantly. One of the greatest truths about being filled with the Spirit of God is this. It don't make you roll around on the floor and act like an idiot, but it does make you act like you got some sense. And God's willing to lead you if you're willing to be led. If you're willing to let Him control, He'll do the controlling. Listen, there's all kind of things in the Bible that you can ask the Lord to do that He says He'll do, but I think the best one is, if you're going to get in tune with others, is ask God to fill you with His Spirit. Yeah. In Baptist churches, we're so afraid to ask somebody, we're so afraid to ask the Lord to fill us with His Spirit because somebody's going to accuse us of being a Pentecostal or something. I got news for you. Before that crowd ever showed up in 1906, God's Word said be filled with the Spirit in the first century, and Christians from then until right now have been filled with the Spirit without acting a fool up in the house of God.
Yep. Amen.
Amen. I'm trying to speak plainly to you like you hear on TV all the time so you'll understand. Don't want nobody to be left out, left behind. Amen. Now watch this. He says to worship God in Scripture, worship God in Spirit, and then he gets down here to verse 19 and says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We got to worship God in the song. One good way to do that is, like I said earlier, you can read a psalm a day to the Lord. And you can get a hymn book and begin to literally enjoy your time with the Lord by singing a hymn to Jesus every morning. You say, well, I can't sing. He don't care. You're not there to perform anyway. And those of you that can sing, I don't think you need to sing up to plus 4 decibels outside the normal hearing range to be in a prayer closet so God can hear you. You can sing that thing to God quietly and enjoy your time with Him. I heard a man say one time, you got to have several books when you come to worship God. You got to have your pocketbook, the good book, and a songbook. And you come to God and worship God, He's in on the thing, especially on that songbook end. Because if you take in the good book, you'll sing out of the songbook, and then you'll give out of your pocketbook, and you'll start seeing God do some things in your life.
Amen.
Amen. Now, by saying that, let me say this. When it says speaking to yourselves in Psalms, you get alone and do that thing. It's simple. It's not. This ain't hard stuff. We've come to God and we said, Lord, forgive us our sins. We want to worship you in Scripture. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. We want you to have all the control. Lord, I want to read this psalm to you today. I want to get this hymn book out, Lord, and sing this song to you. Maybe you got a Christian song that's a good spiritual song about Jesus Christ and you want to sing that to him. Do it. A lot of folks have these telephones that play stuff. Get you a little song in there and sing it with the Lord. It can happen for you. You can be a worshiper of the Lord this way. This is Bible praying.
Yep.
You say, my prayers don't get past the ceiling. I'm trying to get you into heaven right now.
Amen.
Here's why. If we do all this, we got God's plain elements of Bible praying, and we'll see God do a work in somebody's life. Ain't you tired of living a mundane Christian life where you can't hardly tell what's going on and you don't know how to act half the time? Well, you get in here and do this and God starts showing you some things.
Yeah.
See, it's that prayer closet where the battle's won and lost. Here's the thing we say, well, I guess all we can do now is pray. No, you should have started out doing that.
Right.
That should be the thing you depend on God the most for, that when you start out praying, He's going to listen, and you've got the elements right here before you, and you're going to come to Him and say, Lord, I want to come to you and worship you. I want to come to you, Lord, confess my things to you. I want to read your word. I want the will of God. Lord, I want to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, I want to worship you in song and just sing to Him. So when did I get to ask my Cadillac? We ain't even got there yet. You already worried about you. That's why you can't get through right now. This ain't about you, it's about Him. Remember when we said worship, that ain't worshiping you, that's worshiping Him. And when we start worshiping Him, listen to this, He starts listening to us and working in us.
Yeah.
See, that relationship you have with Him, once He's the king and you're the servant to Him, God starts working in you.
Yeah.
Notice this one, look down at verse number 20. He says that verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this. If we're told to do something in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus said, ask in my name whatever you will, it shall be done unto you. This whole thing's referring to prayer. And we come to God, we got the element of worshiping Him in Scripture in verse 17. We come to God and worship God in spirit in verse 18. We come to Him and worship Him in song, verse 19. We come to verse 20, and the way we worship Him there is in satisfaction. Thank God every day of your life that He took time out of running His universe to save your never dying soul. Thank God. There's a young fellow that street preaches up there in Gaffney. I saw him the other day. I said, hey man, thank God for salvation. So what was he preaching on? He had his bullhorn out there and he said, Jesus Christ still saves sinners. I heard that part. So what church you go to? I really don't care. He's doing more than most folks in church do right now.
Right.
So I look foolish out there. That yeah, he looks foolish too, but up in heaven he looks pretty good.
Right.
Amen.
Yep.
You say, what do the law do? They'll bring you some water like they did us when we preached up there in front of them beer joints. Would you believe the beer joint called the law on us for preaching in front of them? What a crowd, man. I used to say that. I've never had the law call me preaching the gospel. I did that day. And the cop showed up and said, boys, I got something for you. Start handing out bottles of water. He said, if this bunch gets saved, my job be a whole lot easier. Let them have it. I'll stand here with you.
Wow.
I said, oh, y'all fixing to get it now for real. I was like before he got here. Now you fixing to really get it. There was a fella stopped up there on the street corner one day. We was up there with Chesney, Brother Harden, one day. And this guy pulled up and said, he started to approach the street preacher. I got him to the side. I said, can I help you? He said, yeah. He said, I think y'all need to build the youth a barbecue pit. I said, I tell you what. You go build that barbecue pit while we finish preaching. He said, I didn't mean me do it. I said, well, it's your idea.
Yeah.
I ain't got no problem building a barbecue pit for the youth, but we got to preach while before we get there. I said, when you get the barbecue built, I said, we'll buy some whole hog sausage and some bacon and some fatback, and we'll get some steaks and hamburgers and good old Israel hot dogs, they call them thing in Hebrew Nationals. We'll get all that stuff, and I'll buy it. You tell me where to come to, and I'll come preach and bring the food. Well, you know, what you waiting on? Go build this barbecue. I'm waiting on you. He said, well, y'all don't need to be doing this. I said, that's your opinion. I said, God said, do it. I said, let's get that thing built. He said, I don't know how to. I said, well, you need to find somebody that can.
Yeah.
See, a lot of people don't understand this, but when we come to God, we worship Him in satisfaction. We see somebody doing something out there that we ain't doing. We get jealous of them and tell them they can't do it. Come to God in prayer and say this, Lord, thank you for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for taking time out and using whatever means it was to get the gospel to me that I might have been saved.
Yeah.
Listen, you don't realize, but all the circumstances that led up to you getting saved, God orchestrated every bit of that.
Yeah.
And He stepped over people that was playing religion to get to you because you was of a contrite heart and you was broken because of your sin.
Yeah.
And He used some loudmouth preacher to come preach to you that the word you might hear the word of God.
Yeah.
And God got that thing to you when you was as hard-hearted and as mean as a devil and everything else. Listen, every morning you get up here and say, Lord, thank you for saving me. Lord, I was the hardest case they was.
Yeah.
You know why? Because you were so unique. Nobody else was created like you. He had to do something different to get to you.
Right.
And a lot of folks never realize how unique God does that thing. But I'll say this also. When we come to God and thank God for salvation, thank Him for your health too. Let me give you some advice. Never ask somebody how they're doing. Because if you do, they will tell you. Sometimes, without even being prompted, they will tell you. And usually the people that does that for 2 hours are not even sick. Amen. Well, how you doing? Well, my big toe's out, my back's out, my knee's out, my elbow's hurting. I got a headache and, you know, 5 children on the way and all this. No. Come to God and thank Him for what health you got. I know that I got a thing in the mail a while ago. Y'all love this. When I get a letter from the hospital, I mean, it's usually somebody left a tract in the hospital, an old liberal, God-denying woman chaplain in there, can't stand it. She's writing, don't put them things out no more, so I send her one back. Just to make sure that, listen, I don't work for you. And I can't, listen, well, you need to tell your congregation to quit putting them things out. Well, listen, I can't get you to do right, so when you're doing right, I can't get you to do wrong, so I ain't going to try to get you to do wrong if you're doing right. Okay? But I got a letter from hospital that wanted me to come to a 5K run. And I looked at that thing, and I thought, or they want me to judge the thing and stand the finish line and say, this guy wins? I could do that. I could hand a cup of water out to the people that's running by. But I'm afraid that running thing's past me already.
Amen.
I'm just being honest. I thought about running this week, and I sat down and took a nap. I mean, it's just that bad. But yet, when I get up, I thank God I can still walk.
Yeah.
And if I ever get to where I can't walk, I'm going to thank God for the wheels on the wheelchair. And if I get to where I can't use my arms on that, I'm going to thank God for whoever's pushing it. And if I have to lay in the bed, I'm going to thank God I can still breathe and look around.
Right.
Thank God for what you got. Listen, your body ain't supposed to last forever.
Right.
I heard people say, well, a healthy body's a sign of the Spirit of God. Oh, boy. Some of y'all never read the Bible, have you? Listen, when we come into the Bible, we find out this. Listen to this. The Apostle Paul could take his hand, lay it on somebody, and ask God to heal them. Like that, they healed. He was friends with Peter, who was able to see people get rose from the dead and healed and all this other stuff. He is friends with John, and they all knew each other in the New Testament there. But then the strangest thing happens. Paul has a problem with his eyesight and his eyes, and he can't get healed. You ever wonder when Peter's up there saying, oh, who wants to get healed? Come. And Paul's sitting there, I want to come. God said, I'm not healing you. Lord, I've used these very hands to touch and heal lepers. Can I help me? No, you can't help yourself, Paul. Well, Lord, thank you for the health of God anyway. Lord, my eyesight may be failing, but my mouth's not. I'll just keep on preaching what I already know. Listen, I've seen preachers get up that have bad eyesight, and there was one in particular I had for a class. He was blind. I learned more from that blind teacher than I did from most of them I had because of this reason. He had everything in here. What he taught us from the heart. He didn't teach us out of his... Well, let's see, it says this, it says it. No, he wasn't doing it. He was looking like over this way and just telling you things. You could just watch his eyes. They'd wander around the room. He couldn't tell where nobody's at. He couldn't tell where his eyes was pointing, but he was telling you the truth, so help him God every time. They got that old man up to preach chapel one time, and he got up in there to preach. He said, let's pray first. Well, he started praying. You feel God moving that place. So the strangest part of it was, while he's sitting there praying, the Spirit of God's dealing with people because he's up there thanking God for what he's got. Can I have my new Cadillac now? They're up there saying, Lord, I need your power to preach today. Some of them walked out of homiletics class saying, boy, I know how to preach now. They got in there and heard that. They said, I don't know nothing. See, God will humble you through people like that. But when you get to him and you come and say, Lord, thank you for the help I've got. Some of y'all, when I said that thing about running a marathon, y'all looked at me like y'all was laughing at me, but I noticed some of y'all ain't in marathon shape either. You ought to thank God you can still walk around.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Some of you thinking, well, I can outrun you. I don't know if you could or not. You let something get after us and we'll find out. Because remember, all I got to do is outrun you if there's something chasing me and you. I love these guys that say, well, I got a gun. If a bear gets after you, that gun ain't going to do you no good. You're going to shoot him, he's going to eat your gun and you. Them things don't fool around, do they? Y'all know we got a problem down here now with them wild boars around here off Broad River. They get starting to multiply down there pretty heavy. Ted Nugent's even been down here hunting, if y'all don't believe that. I mean, it's getting that bad. When them things gets after you, you know why they build them little ramp ladders up in the woods? It's so when you hunt them things, you shoot him. He looks at you and gets mad and starts chasing you. You run up that thing and shoot him more times while you up there and he's chasing you. See, he can't climb a ladder. He ain't got good sense. But he's mad because you shot him. I love all them hunt shows. I've got there, and that thing drops over. Rarely does that ever work, by the way. Every hunter I've ever heard said, they tell me about them big bucks they shot. They had them big old horns on them. But then they tell me about that one that had 10 on each side, and he is about 400 pounds of deer now, if you can believe that. And they shot him, and he just run off. I followed that trail up. He bled out, and he went this way, but I never did find him. Some of them things tougher than you think they are. You ought to thank God for the health you got. And then thank God, literally, for the special things that he's done in your life that was outside the bounds of just normal living. I've heard people say that God had blessed them with certain things, and I got to thinking about it, and I said, I'm going to get me a list together, and I'm going to make a list, and I'm going to write the date out beside it, and then what God did that was out of the ordinary. Boy, I'm telling you what, in a month's time, I had enough stuff to thank God for that I hadn't even thought about, and I can come to him and worship him in satisfaction knowing that God did that thing. As if he had no better place to be and no better time to do it, he just showed up and done something.
Yeah.
I don't know if you'll know this, but there was a time when I had hair and I was thin. I was. There's pictures. I can prove it. I got videos too, by the way. I was married when I was thin. So what happened to you? She can cook. But listen to this. I got in the ministry and I'd quit working at the dye house where it was 120 degrees every day. I'd go in there and eat anything I wanted to and sweat it back off. No problem. But then went in there in Bible college. It's air conditioned. You sit there. And I noticed one day I couldn't hardly button my pants. I thought, oh no. It's happening to me. I became a 36 waist. Well, if I'd known what I know now, I just went ahead and just skipped right over that and went and got them, the next 10 sizes up. Just went right on by it. Took a clothespin and pinned them in the back of my suit. You'd never saw it anyway. But I sat there and I said, you know something? I'm in bad shape here because I ain't got no money. I'm going to need some suits. So one day, God told this fat preacher to go on a diet. And he did. And he lost 200 pounds. He called me in his office one day and said, I got something for you. I said, what is it? He had 12 suits. And it ain't like the junk I'd buy at the brother store. It ain't stuff like I would buy We're talking Johnny Carson, all them big name suits back then. I had stuff that's more expensive than the car I drove. I said, you ain't going to need these back? He said, I hope not. I said, well, amen. I took every one of them. Now listen to me. God can provide for you. There's been times that people will show up and say, I don't know what I'm going to do. This is happening over here, and I don't know. Just ask God and let Him take care of it. When He does, write it down and thank Him He took care of it. Because see, you might not be thanking God for what He's already done, and that might be why you hold up right now. Thank Him for what He's done. Thank Him for what He's going to do, and worship Him in satisfaction. See, Paul said no matter what state he is in, he's going to be content therewith. When you come to God and you're satisfied, you thank Him for things, and you're thanking Him for what He's done, there might be something else He's wanting to do. All this has to do with praying.
Yeah.
We ain't even got out of the prayer closet yet, and we've already learned something. We go to God and thank Him. Look what it says. Verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, listen. I hope today you've learned something about praying. But more so than that, I hope you'll meet Jesus in the prayer closet and start working things out with Him. Maybe you're here today and you're lost and you say, I don't know how to pray to get saved. Call on the best way you know how and turn to Him. He'll save you today. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we love You. God, we come to You today and thank You, God, for the time to be in the house of God. Lord, a privilege and an honor it is.